Welcome to the City on Hill podcast. So glad you're joining us today. I believe this message is going to enlarge your faith, increase your vision. God is going to do extraordinary things in you and through you. Work it into your life, share it with your friends, and we cannot wait to see you soon.
This morning I'm going to share a prophetic message, and it's basically going to just kind of set the table for our thankful series. And our whole year, we're going to earmark this year around Thanksgiving. I don't know about you, but I believe thankful people are successful people. I believe thankful people are content. They understand that they understand, they appreciate what they got. And you know, thankful people are people of abundance. Thankful people are people of freedom. Thankful people are powerful people, my man. If you meet a thankful person, that's a powerful person. So we're going to spend the whole year on Thanksgiving, thankfulness. And so we'll be sharing that vision with you even more. Now you might be saying, but Mark, what happened to harvest? And what happened to multiply? And I want to say to you this, is that when you build a building, like this building, you lay a foundation, and then you build a line of bricks, and then you build another line of bricks. So it's not like you remove what you've gone through, you build on what you've been going through. Does it make sense? And so what happens is God saying, yes, I want you to be a people of multiplication. Never stop that. Keep on growing in that. I want you to be a people that take hold of the harvest, to pray to the Lord of the harvest, to send out workers into the harvest field, because the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. God has given us a harvest. Friends, have we experienced a harvest year last year? We experienced an awesome harvest year last year. But I believe that this is just the beginning. Amen? And so we're going to keep on building. But we're going to give God thanks for what He's done. We're going to give God thanks for who He is. And we're going to give God thanks for His promises. And I believe this year is going to be a year of supernatural fulfillment of promise. Remember when Peter Rasmussen was with us? He gave us a prophetic word. He said he sees a book full of the promises of God over City on Hill. Do you remember that? He says, and every time God turned the page and the promise was on the page, God says yes to this promise. And then he turned it and he said yes to this promise. And then he turned it and he said yes to this promise. God is saying yes to the promises that He made over your life. Can you say amen, a woman, or a something? Wow! Think about your future. Think about 2019. And you think about, you know, the reason why you went through the battles that you went through in 2018 is because the devil wants to keep you away from what God has promised you. And he's trying to get you to either abort the promise of God, or he's trying to get you to run away, to walk away from it, or to give up on it. But God is saying you need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you'll receive what He has promised. Hebrews 10:16. It's so powerful for me that the promises of God are fulfilled in Christ. It says in the Bible, it says that all the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen. And you know what? That, if you go and study the Greek, it actually says all the promises of God are in Christ and they are yes. And then you know what? The way to take hold of them, you say amen to those promises. Can you say amen? No, I want to hear it. Amen. Amen to the promises of God. Amen? And so for me, the way to start this whole year, and this whole year, we're going to, honestly, friends, enlarge in our revelation of Jesus. We're going to experience the supernatural Jesus. We're going to know Him better, encounter Him better. And so for me, the way to start this year is to be extra thankful for Jesus. To celebrate and to enjoy and to encounter Jesus. As an eldership team, last year, we actually were praying for this year, and we felt strongly that God's going to just breathe a whole fresh wave of a love for prayer, a love for God's word into our hearts. But that all starts when we are captivated by Jesus. Amen? I believe that what you are willing to appreciate, you can see it on the slide there, what you are willing to appreciate, you will be able to enjoy. What you are willing to appreciate, you're able to enjoy. Often people say, I don't enjoy my kids. It's because you don't appreciate your kids. People say, I don't enjoy my work. It's because you don't appreciate your work. People say, I don't enjoy the word because you don't appreciate the word. When you appreciate the word, you can enjoy the word. Appreciation unlocks enjoyment. I mean, I've never heard someone say this, but this is powerful. Husbands, appreciation unlocks enjoyment. When we appreciate our family, we enjoy them. When you appreciate the presence of God, you enjoy the presence of God. When you appreciate church and family and light group, you enjoy what God has given you. But when you don't appreciate it, you can't enjoy it. And so that's why thankfulness and appreciation is such a powerful thing, because it unlocks enjoyment into your life. And when we appreciate Jesus, who he is, when you appreciate who Jesus is, wow, I don't have enough time to go into who he is. I wish I had more time. But when we appreciate who he is, when we appreciate what he's done for us, when we appreciate what he's brought us through, man, who knows that God has brought them, Jesus has brought them through some awesome stuff. Some challenging and amazing stuff. Come on. I'm seeing some people saying, yeah, bro, yes. Yeah, I know what you're talking about now. Hello? You know why? Because Jesus is faithful. He brings you through the storm, through the fire. But you know, we also need to appreciate what God has promised us. Because when you can appreciate what he's promised you, you can enjoy the promises. And so while I was fasting and praying, just to let you know, we as a church, we're going to go into a 7-day fast. I want to ask you to fast with us. 13 January to 20 January. Tell the person next to you, he's talking to you. We're going to have a 7-day all-church fast. Now you're going to be like, what? Mark, I don't want to lose my, man, I like my coffee, my chocolate cake, and all that stuff. I want to say this to you. One of the most powerful gifts you can give yourself is to learn how to fast regularly. Fasting and prayer is a powerful thing. And so what fasting and prayer does is it helps you and me to stop relying on other stuff. It literally shakes off our flesh, and it helps us to rely more on God. And so we'll definitely in our communities and in our life groups share more with you about fasting. We'll give you a daily devotion on the fast. But we're going to launch that fast next week, Sunday. So next week, Sunday, I'm going to ask you to have your last normal meal on Sunday, the 13th of January. And then Sunday, the 20th of January, we're going to break the fast together with communion in the celebration. Is that okay? Now you might say, but Mark, like for me, I just do a water, maybe sometimes a little bit of juice. But then it goes to my head, so then I try and keep the water. And then if I'm wanting to drink something hot, I try and drink a hot chocolate. It's not clever, but I just cannot drink hot water, so I'd rather drink hot chocolate. But that's all I do for the fast. But for most people, a Daniel fast is a great way to do it. All you do is you just have vegetables and fruit. And you say, man, I'm just going to have some soup. And I might, for you, you might say, well, I'm going to skip a meal a day. But stand in faith with us, because there's power in corporate prayer and fasting. But as I've been praying and fasting, I believe God's just been saying to me, but Mark, when you start focusing on who I am and you stop focusing on who you are, you take hold of my promises. Because if you focus on yourself, you've got to take hold of your promises. But when you focus on me, you can take hold of my promises. When you focus on yourself, you look at your ability to take hold of those promises. When you focus on me, you look at my ability. We're going to take hold of the promises of God by being thankful. Amen? So Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Can I say that again? A wise man once said this. He said, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Not that wise man. I don't know who said it. Thank you to the media guys. Guys, I'm going to... Okay, guys, Mark Bailey said... I read it somewhere. I don't know who it was. It was some clever oak. But actually, the Bible says it. It's the Bible. Because Paul comes to the church in Galatia and he says to them, guys, what's going on with you? You guys have started out. You started out trusting in Jesus with the real gospel. And you know what? You started adding things to Jesus. You started saying, no, be circumcised as well. You started saying, no, you must do some of those rituals as well. Oh, you know, you must pray at these times. You must have these days holy. Add those things to Jesus, and that's going to make you work. Paul says, who has bewitched you? In Galatians 3, he says, guys, you've started in the spirit and you've now ended in the flesh. What I found is this, is friends, when we don't appreciate Jesus, we want to add things to him. When we're not thankful for Jesus, we want to add things to Jesus. And we want to put things on friends and family and on others that God is not putting on them. We need to put Jesus on people, because Jesus is liberating. Jesus frees. Who the Son says free is free indeed. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul writes and he says, I tell you this of first importance. Can you say first importance? So what's the most important thing? Jesus Christ died for us on the cross and he rose from the dead. That's the most important. What's the most important thing I can say for 2019? Jesus Christ and him crucified. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2 says, Paul says, I resolve to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. Amen? I believe that when you appreciate Jesus, you can be sustained by Jesus. Hello? When you appreciate Jesus, you can be sustained by Jesus. You know that Jesus was also called the bread of life. He was a fulfillment of prophecy. No, I'm just joking. I don't know what's going on with me. I'm learning how to speak again because I've been away so long. Remember how Jesus was the fulfillment, how he fulfilled more than 300 prophecies in his lifetime? Remember that? He was born in Bethlehem, like we spoke about, the house of bread. He's the bread of life. In the Old Testament, the manna that the Israelites ate, that manna was a prophetic picture of Jesus. Every single day, you go out and you feast on Jesus. You don't say, well, I'll have some of Jesus today, and then I don't need him tomorrow. No, that's not going to work. You need Jesus every day. And so what happens is the bread of heaven came down from heaven and came to meet the needs of all mankind. Wow. Jesus said this. He said, this is my body. Remember that? Given for you. His body, the bread, was given for us. David, we know that he ate the bread of the presence. Remember that? Jesus actually mentioned it in one of the Gospels where David came to the place and they were so hungry and they were desperate for food. But there was only this special bread, consecrated bread, called the bread of the presence. Bread that was only allowed to be eaten by people that were consecrated or people that were seen as righteous. And so if you were not consecrated, you could not take hold of the bread. That's why people that are far from God are so empty. Because when you're far from God, when you're disconnected and Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior, and you do not have a relationship with God, guess what happens? You can't feast on the bread of life. But you know what? When you and I give our lives to Christ and we accept the free gift of salvation, guess what happens? We become consecrated vessels. We become the righteousness of God in Christ. It's no longer I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. And now you can start enjoying some of the bread of the presence, man. Come on, let's give God praise. Now, I believe that thankfulness is the key, one of the major keys that unlocks the presence of God. Psalm 100 says, we enter his gates with thanksgiving. Can you say thanksgiving? So if this is the presence of God, it says you enter his gates with thanksgiving. You enter his courts with praise. This is my car key. You see, it's a keyless entry. I put it in my pocket. I can click, click. I can drive my car. How many of you know that car is lekker? But without a key, I can't enjoy it. No matter how amazing the car is, I can tell you, hey, the seat's warm. Hey, it's got aircon, power steering, what. Hey, man, it's got climate control, all the other stuff. I can tell you all those things. But if I don't have access to it, it means nothing to me. And so when people want the presence of God, they need to become thankful to Jesus. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 38 to 40. I've shared this revelation, but I want to share it because I believe this sets the tone for our new year. It says, and Elisha returned to Gilgal, and there was a famine in the land. Now the sons of the prophets were sitting before him, and he said to his servant, put on a large pot and boil stew for the sons of the prophets. Isn't that awesome? So one of them went out to the field and gathered herbs and found a wild vine and gathered from it a lap full of wild gourds and came and sliced them into the pot of stew, though they did not know what they were. Then they served it to the men to eat. Now it happened as they were eating the stew that they cried out, man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat it. I don't know about you, but I remember reading this thing for years and saying, Lord, what on earth is this about a pot and a stew and a wild gourds and lapful and what's a lapful and walla walla. I was like, I don't understand this stuff. And then the Lord said this to me. He said, Mark, a pot is like a person's life. A pot is like a family. A pot could even be like your workplace or your area of influence. And if that's the place where people come and draw from. That's the place where people come and they want to feast from. And when they come and feast from Og Bailey's life, God is like, what are they going to get? Are they going to get life or are they going to get death? But you know what? The difference was not what was in the pot. It was what they added to the pot. What was messed, that messed the whole pot up. It was all good until he put that wild gourds in there. And I said, Lord, what are the wild gourds? And God said this to me. He said, the wild gourds are when you fill your life with the world. When you go out into the world and you fill your life with the world. Put some of the world in there. Put some of the world in there. Put some of the world in there. And when you fill your life with the world, people taste from your life and they say, ah. Sorry, that's an ugly face, but that's exactly what people think. Hello? And so guess what happens? God said this to me. Often what happens to people, now they come to church, now they want their lives to be sorted out. You might be here this morning, one of those, you're far from God, and you say, Lord, I want to sort my life out. And guess what happens? Now you want to sort your life out. And I've got amazing news for you. You cannot sort your life out. I thought I was going to get an amen on that one. Because you cannot sort your life out. So I thought to myself, the best thing to do is if you've got a contaminated life with the world, the best thing to do is to take the world out of that life. Doesn't it make sense? But that's not what Jesus wants. Because that will not fix you. That'll just merely say, well, now you got a little bit less of the world in you. Hello? The wages of sin is death, my friends. But the gift of God is eternal life. That's what the word says. And so the gift of God is eternal life, but the wages of sin is death. If you're far from God here this morning, your life might, you might say, but Mark, I've been struggling with stuff, I've been battling, and my life is actually not full of life, but it's full of death, because the wages of sin is death. I want to give you some amazing, amazing news this morning. That prophetic word about the breath of God, I believe that it's going to be like the bread of life is going to breathe over you this morning. Listen to us, verse 41. So he said, bring some flour. What do you make bread with? Ah. That's quite amazing. So he says, bring some flour. Let's bring some of the bread of life. And he says, and he put it into the pot and said, serve it to the people that they may eat. And there was nothing harmful in the pot. Wow. This pot went from death to life. Not by taking anything out, but by adding something to it. Now, I don't know if you get this. I don't know if you get this. But most people are so busy trying to get their lives right. And 2019, friends, is not a year where you say, I'm going to stop sinning in 2019. Hallelujah. 2019 is a time when you say, Lord, I'm going to add more of Christ. I'm going to bring Christ into my family. I'm going to bring Christ into my home. I'm going to bring Christ into my workplace. I'm going to bring Christ into my thought life. I'm going to bring Christ into every part of my life, because the more I add the bread of life, the less of the death is in my life. The more bread I get, the less of the sin I struggle with. We don't have a sin problem. We have an appreciation problem. Now let's progress. Can we progress? Because you know what the problem is? Most people said to you, you say, Mark, you don't understand my life. Yes, that bread might have been enough for them. That flour might have been enough for me, for them. But me, you don't understand my life. It's not enough for me. It's enough for them, but it's not enough for me. You don't understand my marriage. You don't understand my kids. You don't understand the battle that I have. You don't understand my financial situation. You don't understand my health situation. That might be enough for them, but it's not enough for me. I want to show you that even though Jesus looks like he's not enough, you'll see he's more than enough. Verse 42 says, then a man came from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits. The first fruits, Jesus was called in 1 Corinthians 15, the first fruits. It says, 20 loaves of barley bread and newly ripened grain in his knapsack. And he said, give it to the people that they may eat. So these people are hungry and they need to eat. They need to be sustained. Listen to this. Verse 43, but his servant said, what? Can you say, what? No, no, no. Do it like, what? Okay, it's new year, man. Let's just have some fun here, man. Shall I set it before 100 men? He said again, give it to the people that they may eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left over. I've got a prophetic word for you over 2019. God says to you, you're going to eat and you're going to have left over. You're going to eat and you're going to have left over. God is saying to you right now, you might not feel like you're enough. You're going to eat from Jesus and there's going to be more than enough. God's saying maybe when it comes to your time or your energy, there's not enough of you, but you're going to eat and you're going to have left over. I believe this is a season of extraordinary abundance that God wants to bring us into, but it's time that we believe and we appreciate, because what we appreciate, we can take hold of. What we appreciate, we can enjoy. And if, I believe God is going to take us into another level where we're not going to settle for less, but we're going to take hold of what He's got for us. Amen. So verse 44 said, He set it before the men. They ate, and they had some left over. I'm looking forward to having a Thanksgiving celebration. The end of this year. We're going to have a big Thanksgiving celebration. I'm hoping the elders will allow us. We're going to all do this together. Am I right, guys? And you know what we're going to do at that Thanksgiving celebration? We're going to tell each other how we ate and how we have left over. We're going to come to the end, and we're going to have a verse 44 is going to be our fulfillment. In 2019, at the end of this year, I remember coming to this building. Remember when we were starting to build this building? I remember when we bought the land. A guy walked up to me, so well-knowing, so well-meaning, and he said to me, Mark, I think you're crazy. I wanted to tell him, I also think I'm crazy. But I'm so glad that even though we didn't have enough and there was nothing that we had zero, friends. We had 10,000 rand in the account. We said, what can we do with 10,000? We drilled a borehole. That's what we could do. Someone gave us a good price. We drilled a borehole. We had zero money. We had zip, nothing, no moolah, nothing. Here we are. A 15 million rand paid off cash. It's ours. See, what seemed to not be enough became more than enough. Now, how much more would God not want to do that in your life? This is massive. How much more can God not do in our lives? You might be sitting here saying, but Mark, you don't understand. I don't have enough time. You're talking about light group, but I don't have enough time. God's saying, just bring me your little bit, and you'll be able to enjoy the fruit of that little bit of an investment. You might say, but Mark, I don't have enough faith. I need faith, Mark. I mean, I need to overcome. I need to take all of these giants. I need to see these walls come down. God says, just give me your little bit. Just give me your little bit. It's not enough. But when you bring Jesus into the equation, it becomes more than enough. Verse Matthew 15. I just need to go there before we land. It says in Matthew 15, verse 36 to 38. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish. And when he had given thanks, woo, there we go. Oh, I love this. How many loaves did he take? 7. Tell me, how many hands do we need in our lives? Who was here with the 7th hand preach? Okay, you missed out. If you didn't get it, go and download it this afternoon. The 7th hand. Remember the 7th hand. Remember that the 6th hand is the number of man. Man can just do so much, but the 7th hand is when God starts stepping in. The 6th hand is when you and I do our little bit. The 7th hand is when the supernatural meets the natural. Amen? So he takes 7 loaves, and the Bible says he gives thanks and he breaks it. He lifts it up to heaven, he gives thanks and he breaks it. I want to ask you, friends, can you appreciate the bread of life? Can you give thanks to God for the bread of life? Because there were you saying, but Lord, there's multitudes, there's not enough of me, there's not enough of us, there's not enough. Lord, I need you more than enough. Amen? It says he broke them and he gave them to the disciples, and they in turn gave to the people, and they all ate and were satisfied. Can you say satisfied? Who's got faith to be satisfied this year? Thankful people are satisfied people. Amen? Listen to this. It says, afterwards the disciple picked up how many basketfuls? 7. 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate were 4,000 men. That was not counting the women and the children. 7 loaves, 7 basketfuls over. 7 is the number of perfection. The previous miracle that Jesus did when he fulfilled that prophecy of Elisha was with the 5,000 men, he took 5 loaves. What's 5? It's the number of grace. How many basketfuls was left over? 12. It's the 12 tribes of Israel. God wants us to declare something of a, listen, I'll provide every single need. Even your impossibility becomes possible when I am lifted up, when I'm glorified. I want to ask you in 2019, will you lift up the bread of life over your life? Tumela, will you take the bread of life and say, Lord, I want to give thanks. I want to give thanks for you. Lord, this doesn't look like it's enough. I've got a little bit of revelation in the Word, but I want to give thanks for the little bit of revelation I have because I want that revelation to increase. I want to give thanks for a little bit of faith that I have because that needs to increase. Faith in you, Jesus. You are the author and the finisher of my faith because what you give thanks for expands. Amen? Wow. I want to close this morning with a video clip and then we're going to have a ministry moment. And I know, I mean, I'm being bold by showing this video clip again because I know most of you have seen this video clip and you'd be like, oh, Mark, we've seen it before. But friends, there's no better way for me to start a year than to lift up the bread of life. And to tell you today that there's going to be moments this year that you're going to say, Lord, I'm not enough. And Jesus is going to come and he's going to say, I'm enough for you. I'm more than enough. You're going to say, but Mark, you don't understand the battles that I'm facing. It's a divorce. It's a child. It's a sickness. Man, Mark, you don't understand. I don't feel like I've got the strength. I can't face this year. God is saying, come and add the bread of life.